It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick of Live the Life Ministries, based here in Jacksonville, Florida, in our Northeast Florida, South Georgia initiative to strengthen marriages and families. At Real Talk with Dr. Rick, we're going to engage in real talk regarding real issues and direct you to real solutions. And if you have a question or comment, please contact us at realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. And as you can tell, this is Dr. Rick, and we're going to jump right into our topic of today. This conversation is what I'm most remembered for around the country as I travel and speak. It's called The Power of Us. The Power of Us. And if you will hang with me, it's times it may sound like to some of you I'm getting off track biblically, but hang with me. I think you'll find out at the end I'm very biblical. And just learned that sometimes we don't tend to think a certain way. You know, I've come to realize something, that a lot of times when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking outside of the box, of the religious systems and theologies or systematic theologies with words we would use today. He was speaking outside of those systems of thinking of the scribes and Pharisees. Have you noticed that same challenge is in the church today? I had a mentor say to me a long time ago, Rick, we don't defend the Bible. We defend our systematic theology, tongues versus no tongues, Calvinism versus Arminianism, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, if you think about it, the term denomination, if we're honest about it, is really just another name for division, And what divides us are issues that have no bearing on eternity. And so we get divided on those issues. And, you know, people used to say to me, hey, Rick, aren't you a minister? I go, sure. And I'm a Baptist minister, background. But people today would ask me, are you a minister? I'd say, yes. What are you ordained in? I say the Baptist Church, but my denomination is Navy Protestant. And people chuckle with that. I'm a proud 12-year Navy vet. And we at Live the Life have the honor of serving. Our curriculums are used by the U.S. Air Force Special Forces. So every month we're providing a marriage and family retreat for our warriors. And God is seeing that expand to other parts of the military slowly, because we're actually giving people skills and tools of what to do different. And that's a real wonderful opportunity that God has given us. But folks, even there, we teach these principles, particularly this one we're about to talk to you about today, that I call the power of us. Now, we got to go back and give me a little bit of history. So year 1994, you know, I'm kind of frustrated. I'm a professor at a graduate school in Virginia Beach, Christian graduate school. I'm teaching ministry therapy. And I was kind of, you know, I grew up in a denomination that was all performance-based. Eventually, you kind of get burned out. And my marriage wasn't doing really well back then. We had a lot of challenges financially, stressors on us. And I was studying the idea of one flesh from Genesis chapter 2, leave, cleave, become one flesh. And I'm researching all of these people's definitions of one flesh, and I'm not here to declare anyone's definition of one flesh good or bad. That's not the purpose here. My purpose was, for me, they didn't seem to be sufficient in explaining it. And so in my frustration, it's like, Lord, I get what they're saying, but it seems like there's something missing. And then it hit me. The idea of one flesh, both the Apostle Paul and Jesus say ultimately it's a mystery. There's something mysterious about this thing called one flesh. So when I sat there and just kind of pondered that, if you will, I asked a question back then that I didn't know was brilliant. At least in my mind, it was brilliant coming from me. Didn't realize that in asking the question, in the answer that I got from Spirit, it changed my life. It changed the course of my life, and it changed how I live my life and how I teach. And here is the question I asked. I said, Lord, if this thing is a mystery, if this idea of one flesh is a mystery on some level, and you can't fully define something that is in essence still mysterious, how would I know if I had a one flesh marriage? And the answer was simple, but in its simplicity, it was profound. And the Spirit said to me, it's easy, son. You'll know you'll have it because you'll feel it. That's right. You heard me. You'll know you'll have it because you'll feel it. So then I want to give us a new word. I'm thinking that as you're listening to me, you may not have a one flesh marriage. You may not have that sense of connection. Matter of fact, you don't feel oneness. You feel distance. You feel cold. You feel detachment. This message is for you, as it was for me many years ago, a little over 20. Here we go. You see, the idea of one flesh, we're going to give a new name. I'm going to call it us. It's leave, cleave, become us. Just a more contemporary word for the idea of one flesh. Now, if we can be intellectually honest for a minute, you don't have to be a Christian to have a good marriage. If we're honest about that, you don't have to be a Christian to have a good marriage, because the bottom line is there's a lot of non-Christians who have great marriages, and then Christians who don't have good marriages, and they're believers. Now, some people like to say, well, they're not saved, in order to help them deal with their own systematic theology. I think that's rather disingenuous to accuse someone of not being saved just because they have a healthy marriage. It probably just means they're broken and wounded and don't know how to love well, as it did with me. I was definitely saved, but no one really discipled me into maturity, although they did inform me about the Bible. And so here's the conversation. You see, if you want to have a strong one flesh marriage, you're going to have to start focusing on us and not you. You see, it takes two to make an us, only one of you to kill it. That's right. It takes two to make an us, one to kill it. And if both of you make us your value, you'll have us around all the time. But because one of you can kill us, I can give to us all day and Luella not, and we won't have an us. Luella can live for us and I won't. We're not going to have an us. Oh, you can be legally married, but let's be honest, you know, you don't have an us. And I always tell people, you want three people in your bedroom every night if you're married. You, her, and us. Why? Because when us is in the house, how do you know? How do you know when us is in the house? And the answer is simple. You feel it. You see, when both of you live for us, you'll feel its presence regularly. Because when us is in the house, you'll feel the love, you'll feel the warmth, you'll feel the attraction, you'll feel the goodness, you'll feel the peace, you'll feel all of that. Oh, and by the way, so will your children. Your children know when us is in the house, because everybody can feel its presence. That's why I tell you, you want three people in your bedroom every night, you, her, and us. Because when us is in the room at night, you sleep well, you touch, you stay connected, you might even kiss at night. You also know when us is not in the house. You see, when us is not in the house, you'll feel that too. Because when us is not in the house, you'll feel the distance. You'll feel the coldness. You'll feel the angst. You'll feel the tension. You'll feel the silence. You'll feel the disdain, the resentment, the bitterness. And so will your children. Because everybody knows when us is in the house and when it's not. Because you can feel its presence, and you can feel its absence. When us is not in the bedroom that night, it looks like this. Get your feet off me. You sleep back to back. I didn't know my big old fat body can sleep on like 6 inches of mattress. You know, you sit back there, you cuddle up and you turn your back on them. That's no way to live. I grew up in a home that was that way. I am not going to live that way as an adult when the Spirit has challenged me and has put himself in me so I can live with a strong us. It requires humility, by the way, because the only way you can keep us in your home is you have to live. You have to live a life of humility. But I don't humble myself to Luella. I actually humble myself to us. You see, when us wins, we both win. But it takes humility to do that. But I humble myself to us, because by humbling myself to us, I'm actually giving to me too. That's the great mystery of it. You see, when you give to us, you give to yourself, you give to her, you give to the whole, and everybody wins. But pride, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, selfishness, that's all about you. And if you, unforgiveness, that's all about you. And if you want to be about you, you can. I'm not here to judge or criticize anybody. I got my own sin issues to deal with, right? However, if you want to live in all of that, those things ultimately are about you. And if you want to live about you, you can. But when us packs its bags and walks out of the house, don't complain. You created it. See, I've come to realize in my own journey through my mentors, I create a lot of what's in my home because of who I am and the way that I am as a way of being. And I had to learn to grow up, to heal, become a healthy, mature adult. Why? So I can learn to live for us maturely. And so I began to realize when us wins, we both win. When us loses, we both lose. It takes two to make an us and one to kill it. And when, I tell you, when us is in the house, it is sweet. You want to go home. You want to be there. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful for your children. Now, here's the interesting thing about your us. Here's the interesting thing about us that you really need to be aware of. Here it is. Us is not the same as you. You get that. Us is not the same as you. In other words, your usness in your marriage is different than you. The usness in your marriage would do things that you would never do yourself. Example, I, Rick Marks, don't like malls. I don't go to malls. Folks, I don't even go to town center because in my mind, town center is a mall without a roof, all right? If you see me at town center, it's because I'm going to a very particular place. I go do what I need to do and I get out, but you don't see me walking around town center. Why? Because I don't like malls. You will never see me in a mall. Now, even though you won't see me in a mall, you'll see us in the mall. See, us, I don't like a mall, but us likes the mall. See, us will go to the mall and stay for hours, but I would not. Because you see, when us is at the mall, man, we're walking, talking, holding hands, and dreaming. Us will stay at the mall for hours. Rick Marks will not. My wife loves the beach. Now, I'm a 12-year Navy vet, and I love being on a boat. So if you're out there and you want to take me out on your boat, call me up. I'll go with you. All right. I love being on top of the water on a boat. Can do that for hours. But I will not sit on the sand. I used to jokingly tell my wife, honey, you need to understand something about the beach. The beach is not for people to sit out there and burn on. It's actually just a landing platform for the U.S. Marine Corps to move inland. It's just a landing platform. Just come on in. All right? That's all it is. So that's a little joke around that. But my wife loves the beach. I don't like the beach. But guess what? You got it. Us likes the beach. That's right. Us likes the beach. A few years ago, I was asked to be a speaker on a for a group on a cruise out of Miami. They paid for my wife to go with me. On the fourth day of the cruise, they were going to stop at their island down there in the Bahamas and spend a day at their island. And Luella said to me, hey, after you get done speaking this morning, why don't we get on the little boat and go cross over to the island and sit on the, you got it, beach. Not me. However, in that moment, I get to make a decision for me, which would be no, or for us. And I said, sure. I can do that. And so I got done speaking. We went to our room. We got our stuff and we went on the boat and we went over to the island and she was having a great time there on the beach. I was having a good time. I was walking around, eating, watching people. And about four and a half hours into this time, she's laying on her chair there with a towel over her face. And I'm sitting next to her. And all of a sudden, folks, I kid you not, I just started kind of, you know, tensing my neck back and rubbing it around and I looked over to her and I said, are you asleep? Because she had a towel over her face. And she said, yeah, through the towel. And I said, us is done at the beach. I said, Rick's back. And she sat up. She goes, what does Rick want to do? I go, Rick can't do this anymore. I'm going to go back on the boat and watch the movie because I just can't do this. You see, I know what us can do and I know what I can do. And my point is, your us would do things that you would not do. Why? It's not about me in that moment. It's about us. And when you decide to do things for us, there's no negative energy. It's all positive. My wife, folks, she would die, literally, she would die a physical death and never visit a battlefield, ever. I'm a military history nut, okay? And I love going over to Uncle Davey's, his little store over there. And I can sit in that store, and there's all kinds of military Civil War artifacts that you can actually buy. I mean, you're buying history, folks. History. There's museums and battlefields all over this country that I love to visit. My wife would not go to any of those. But guess what? Guess who else likes to visit a battlefield? You got it. Us will. Though she won't, us will go to a battlefield. And when us is at the battlefields, it's positive because she's not there for her. She's there for us. My daughter graduated from Georgetown University last May, and it was on a Friday morning. And so we were going to drive up because we had to get Philip van and bring a bunch of her stuff home to Jacksonville because she's moving to Dubai. And so I said to Luella, I said, hey, how about we leave like on Wednesday? And on our way up, we can leave early. We can stop in Virginia and visit Petersburg Battlefield. We can visit Richmond. We can visit Manassas. We can visit Chancellorsville. And if you're a Civil War history nut, you know that they're great places to visit. And my wife got to make a decision for her or for me or us. And she said, yeah, let's do it. And we had a great time. On my 40th birthday, listen, folks, this is really powerful. On my 40th birthday, I was given a present by a bunch of friends. It was 3 nights, 4 days, and a bed and breakfast in downtown Gettysburg during Civil War Heritage Week, which is the week when all the reenactors, tens of thousands of reenactors show up, and the whole town of Gettysburg for that week is transformed back into the era because it's during the week of the battle. Now, the gift was better than that because they also gave me tickets to sit in the bleachers in the hot sun in the field where all the reenactment takes place. I got to sit out front and watch cavalry charges and infantry movements and mortar fires and cannon demonstrations. Oh, for 4 days, got to watch all that. That is a paradise gift for someone like me. But the gift was even better than that because they gave me tickets for two. That's right, for two. And you guessed it. Us decided, my brother Don went, because us knew she had no business being there. You see, my point is, us may not always do things together, but us is always in agreement. 2007, I was offered a job senior management position with the largest healthy marriage coalition in the country. A very good job for me personally, and a very good job for me professionally. California Healthy Marriage Initiative. Yet, I did not take it, because though it was good for me, it was not good for us. April 2011, got a phone call. Governor Brownback's office, my name had been given to them by some sources, wanted me to come start, or consider coming to start, the statewide marriage and fatherhood initiative of the state of Kansas during Governor Brownback's first term. Us prayed about that, and us agreed that if they offered it, I was to go. They did offer, and I did go without my wife and kids. We had to get my youngest son out of his second year at college. And so I moved to Topeka, Kansas for that year to get that going. And people would ask me when I was out there, hey, is your wife here? I would say no. And they would say something like, well, it must be rough on your marriage. I'd say, it's not rough on my marriage. And they would say something like, well, it would be mine. And I would say, well, not if us was in agreement. And they'd look at me. I go, look, I said, I never would have made the decision without us behind it. You see, it wasn't rough on the marriage because I wouldn't have come. I wouldn't have went to Kansas if us was not behind it. They asked me the wrong question. They never should have asked me, was it rough on my marriage? They should have asked me, was I lonely? And the answer is yes. But it wasn't rough on the marriage. Because I am living to the best of my ability, never to undermine us. You see, when you come to realization that the greatest gift and the most mature way to live is beyond yourself for us, you will have the marriage that you want. You'll have the relationships that you want with others, because see, every relationship has a form of us to it. It's why I do corporate work, to teach people how to have healthy, emotional, us-connected teams, if you will. Because every relationship has an us or not. Me and my kids have an us or we don't. You and I will have an us or we won't. You see, and everything I do in my relationships will dictate an us or not an us. But it is in the marital bond. It is in the marital bond. Us has the greatest meaning and value. And so real quickly, let's have a short conversation on this idea of value. The word love is really grossly misused in culture today. Example, I love my wife. I love my children. I love the U.S. military. And I love mint chocolate chip ice cream, folks. I personally think it's Jesus' favorite flavor, but that's just my own personal opinion. All right? You got it. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love the U.S. military. And I love mint chocolate chip ice cream. Do you hear the misuse of the word love? I mean, you love your wife and mint chocolate chip ice cream, Rick? Yes, I do. You hear the cultural misuse of that word. What if I took that word and gave you, just substituted it with another word? What difference would it make in how you choose to live your life and treat others? We'll start with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What if I separated that word love with this word? What difference would it make? Here we go. For God so valued the world that he gave. You see, I value my wife and I value my children. I do not value the U.S. military near as much. And to be perfectly honest, I don't value mint chocolate chip ice cream at all. I just love it. You get the point. Now, if I treat my wife on a regular basis in a way that devalues her, could she then not logically, rationally then argue that I don't love her? And the answer is obviously yes. Because love never devalues the object of love. And when you treat people in a way that devalues them, that is all about you. That is never about us. And I hate to say it this way, but it's still true because it's happening all over America, even in the church. When you treat someone in a way that devalues them long enough, you really shouldn't complain if they walk out of your life. Why? You created it yourself. Because based on your actions on a consistent basis, you basically said, I don't value you, I value me. And they will leave because they will get it one day. They will understand you don't value me. That's why I tell people, you earned your divorce based on the way you are. Now, don't go out there saying, hey, Dr. Rick's pro-divorce. I'm anti-divorce. I'm a product of it. I fight against it. But I live in a real world. And I don't try and live in a fantasy world. Divorce is an option that people do take. And we live the life. We work hard to show people you don't have to choose divorce, but you could choose this path. And we'll show you how to have the marriage and how to reclaim an us. I know it can happen because I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times. And I still get to see it that way. People come from around the country to our 3-day intensives just to rebuild in us, and we show them how. Because all things are possible, and we like to increase the probability of those possibilities. So then, us wins, you both win. Us loses, you both lose. Anybody can live for us or not. It requires humility. And so as I wrap up our real talk, let me put this one piece in it. Many years ago, I was studying the book of Hosea. If you know the book of Hosea, it's about a minor prophet who is told by God to go marry a prostitute. Her name was Gomer. And, of course, that passage, that book is always taught, is a picture of God in Israel. And I get that and respect that. However, way back when, I was reading the book of Hosea through the prism of marriage because it was about a marriage. And around the end of chapter 2, I was reading through that and studying it through the prism of marriage, and I got frustrated, and I actually said to Father, kind of out loud in a whisper, my wife was sleeping behind me in the bed at the time, and I said, why would you want a man to marry a prostitute? Kind of in that tone. It was frustrating. Now, let me say this now as a disclaimer. Personal revelation is not public doctrine. Personal revelation is not public doctrine. Here's what the Spirit said back to me when I asked that question. Here's what the Spirit said to me. Spirit said, so you will know what it's like for me being married to you, bride. And then he began to ask me some questions. How do I treat you when you're unloving? How do I treat you when you're unkind? How do I treat you when you prostitute yourself with things other than our relationship? You see, Rick, whatever you do or don't do, I always give to the us. In my marriage with you, my bride, I expect you to do the same with Luella. You model me. So when you don't live for us, Rick, I always do. You live the same way with Luella. Well, I'm going to tell you something. For those of you who know Christ as your Savior, for those of you who are listening who are married, your marriage is struggling, for that person who's listening to you right now, your marriage is struggling, you've lost the us. Or as the old song goes, you've lost that love and feeling. You know what I'm talking about. You can get those feelings back. But it's a very particular path you have to walk because the road is narrow. We show you how. Not all marriages have to die. And I've learned one thing really, really well. When you've lost the us, you can get it back. Some people say, well, but Dr. Marks, Dr. Rick, my marriage is dead. I go, ho, ho. It might be. It might be. I don't know. But I do know this. The Word of God does one thing really, really well. It's really good at one thing, resurrecting dead things. The Word of God can take, can be spoken to a man who is dead and in a cave for 3 to 4 days, Lazarus, and say, Lazarus, come forth. So the Word of God was spoken at one point to a man who is physically dead and resurrected him. If the Word of God can resurrect a physical death and it can resurrect a spiritually dead person, then I'm just going to be dumb enough to believe that the Word of God can resurrect a dead relationship. Because the Word of God resurrects dead things. So if you're listening to me and you're thinking, I don't have an us, or our us is just kind of like, you know, we need those paddles that you rub together and shock the heart of the relationship back. I go, But you also need to know what to do different. You need to know what to do different. And traditional counseling doesn't teach what to do different. It gives you insight into how you got where you are. But don't be hearers of the word only, but doers. But you don't know what to do different. And here's what I've learned. When you know what to do different, you're empowered to create the relationship that God wants you to. Because you can't do something that you don't know. If it's not in your realm of knowledge, you don't have the ability. So if you're listening and you've lost the us, there is hope. There is hope. Let us help you. Find someone else who can teach you communication skills and problem-solving skills. And key is emotional regulation skills. Teach you how to be angry and sin not. To teach you how to be slow to anger. To teach you how to speak the truth in love. Because we say in our world that love has a tone to it. You see, all this is possible. We do this every month here in Jacksonville through our Hope Weekend intensives. We take couples who are distressed, highly distressed, divorcing, separating. And 85% stay together. You see, the resurrection is a reality. The resurrection of Jesus. And there are many families together today because God resurrected a dead relationship because they allowed themselves to focus on us rather than me. Marriage is giving up the I for the we. If you don't want to be a we, you never should have got married, in my personal opinion. But that's a different conversation for a different day. This is Real Talk with Dr. Rick. Thank you.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.